Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 192, Now You See Me 2. The sequel nobody asked for.
Well, the first one was a huge hit.
It was a runaway surprise hit.
I liked the first one a lot.
I enjoyed the first one. I thought it was dopey and fun. I didn't require a lot of brain power.
Well, you're describing this movie. Well,
except for the fun part.
Except for the fun part, yeah.
Part of that. Yeah. I think people will enjoy this movie.
Isla Fisher?
Do you?
Wasn't it?
I think people will enjoy this movie because, although that what they should do with your ticket, with your admission, is just put a popcorn, just give you free popcorn. Because
this movie was so stupid.
Yep.
Yeah, in hindsight, I think the first one kind of is too heavy.
I think the first one is stupid, but it knows it's stupid, and it was doing like some cool quote unquote magic.
Well, and the thing is, like,
was there one magic trick in this whole movie?
I watched $5 disappear.
Now you see me, now you don't.
God.
Poof.
Where'd it go?
They didn't do any magic.
The first one is questionable because it's pseudo magic.
Sure.
Because there's like, first of all, it's like, here's the thing, when you do magic as sort of your like your impetus of what the is happening in the movie, and this you can fake it because it's like,
well, it's movie magic.
This also uses like technology, you know. In the first one there was like, they're also using holograms, very expensive lighting setups, and I'm like, first of all, I don't think hologram technology is there yet, but okay. And you know, but there was a lot of, which was like a part of the first one, I was like, apparently, the Four Horsemen have an unlimited budget.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Which
yes.
they kind of touched on because it's Michael Caine is their like.
Well, like, that was I forgot that the plot of the first one was that.
It's all about Shrike.
Yeah. Like, well, it's just like they went after Michael Caine because he screwed him over on an insurance claim.
He was the. Okay. So in the first movie. Basically, we've got all these magicians who are, you know, their self-serving interests are that they want to be part of the Eye, which is the secret society.
Yes, the thing.
Which is, you know, not the magic castle, which, you know, because I was like, well, I'd just be happy if I got in a magic castle. Because that's sort of like, you know, that's the legit, like, that's where all the magicians would go. Right. And there's a lot of secrets held there. And it's, I mean, but I also think they cultivate their own mystique.
Sure.
Because it's good for business.
Right.
You know. But, I mean, that's where they would all, like, kind of hang out. This is, like, beyond that. This gets into more of, like
the Illuminati of magicians.
That's exactly right.
And what's so weird is it's the secret society of magicians that apparently no other magicians are in.
Another character, and then it's an Asian lady and her grandson.
And this is the first time you've seen, like, there's never been... They've never encountered anyone else.
So if they would have done what I thought they were going to do with Harry Potter, where it was like, oh, it was all a setup. Yeah. There is no I. Like, it was all a game from the beginning. I was like, I can get behind that. Like, that sounds like a good plot move.
Well, see, and they, that's not the case. And that's what they did in the first
okay,
movie.
Okay, just real quick. How do you cast Harry Potter in a movie about magicians
and not reference make him, Harry Potter?
I would not make him a magician.
Yeah.
Was that like in his contract? Like, but I won't play a magician.
Yeah. I can't play a magician this time. I did that for 8 movies.
Yeah, the whole setup of the first movie was that there was the people that they bilked were the insurance company.
Yep.
The security company that built the safe.
Oh, I forgot about the security company.
And
the guy who was like the...
And then the guy who was the debunker.
Right.
Who is played by Morgan Freeman. Who right. is... Where we start here is he's been in jail 18 months. He's still doing his show because he's got a pretty
swanky setup in a federal prison.
I mean, it's a cell, but it's pretty well equipped. I think he's got gigabit Ethernet. Yeah,
just a pet. Well, and clearly he had some sort of, because he had his own leather recliner in there. Right. Like, clearly he was like
Lex Luthor.
He was like Goodfellas, you know?
Yeah.
And
he's like Paul Sorvino.
And just a little thing that irritated me, but when they showed you the YouTube clip of him talking, the bar
never
was moving, but the counter didn't.
That's what it was. The counter never moved.
It was always 3 minutes and 52 seconds.
and that's not some sort of like meta reference either.
No, it's just lazy. And the movie opens with this flashback to Ruffalo's father performing a magic trick.
Correct. Who was played by a different actor in the first movie. So
he
right off the bat,
movie?
I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Elias Koteas who played Casey Jones.
Casey Jones. Yeah,
way,
okay.
Way back.
Gotcha. And so it was irritating because Morgan Freeman's doing... like a stand-up for News Channel 8 as they're broadcasting this magic trick. And I'm like...
with his sweet, dulcet tones.
And I'm like... And then
and his dyed hair.
And in his description, it says, Magic Debunker. and when it's got his name, and it says Magic Debunker, on the Chiron on the screen. Yeah. And I'm just like... like, okay, I was alive in 84, and I'm pretty sure I don't remember the news, like...
You don't think like when Copperfield would do something,
they didn't broadcast it live.
He was the only guy that would do it
in its entirety.
No,
and they certainly didn't bring in a magic debunker and hand him a mic and have him host.
Oh yeah,
it.
He was full blown
they would have interviewed him. What do you think? And also, it's like, what is he debunking? Like, I don't even understand.
He's debunking this guy can't get out of the safe.
Like, the guy's not saying he has magical, mystical powers.
He's like an escape artist.
He's an escape artist. What is here to debunk?
Yeah, he's not like a John Edwards psychic.
Yeah.
You know, isn't Miss Cleo or
right,
anything
like
that.
I get. Like, this guy's an escape artist. Like, he either gets out of the safe or he doesn't get out of the safe. If he doesn't get out of the safe, he has effectively debunked himself.
Yes.
You don't need to then rub it in his corpse's face.
Right. Hey, you know when I told you that you weren't going to get out? Told you you weren't going to get out.
Now
you're dead.
So like right there, it's just lazy screenwriting throughout this movie to where it's like, oh, well, he's hosting this. Why would he host it? And it wouldn't be if he did host it. Because there was stuff like this, right? Geraldo Rivera.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the news. It was his own special. And it certainly wasn't local news.
Did they have, like, so I definitely remember, like, David Copperfield specials.
Sure.
Did they have those, like, in the early 80s?
Doug Henning used to have specials on, and then David Copperfield had specials, but you know what they didn't have?
Who was he married to?
They didn't run competing specials on other networks with debunkers that would stand there and pick those specials apart.
Right. Who did he marry? He married, like, a supermodel.
Yeah. Claudia Schiffer. Yeah.
Yeah. J.C. Corcoran calls her Claudia Schiffer brains.
Doug Henning was sort of like... Well, magicians have been, on TV forever.
I just meant, like, that big spectacle where, like, he makes
he's with Chloe Goslin, is what it says.
It was before that, though.
Oh, he's been with her since 2006, according to Google.
Yeah, I mean, the first...
This was, in the 80s or 90s.
Gotcha. In the 70s, Doug Henning was, like, kind of, like, the big magician. And he was this sort of, like, hippie feel-good kind of magic.
Yeah.
He was magic.
I'm going to pull this apple out of your face.
Magic.
Terrible.
He was always like, magic is an illusion.
It's an illusion. It's a world of illusion. And it'd be,
rainbows
and crap. And
I saw it with the Fox when I was a kid.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
And here's a little sweet story about Doug Henning. So, like, we would leave the Fox and how we would get to our car is we cut through a little alleyway. Mm-hmm. And as we were leaving, Doug Henning was standing there in the alleyway doing sleight of hand for kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And well, I was like, cool. To my dad, I was like, dude, I'm like, oh, can I go over there? We got to beat traffic.
But Doug Henning's right
but
there.
But Doug Henning's right there doing slide. We got to do traffic.
We got to be traffic.
Yeah. Always got to be traffic.
That down mid to downtown St. Louis traffic, which
yeah.
It's just one road.
Which is why traffic's so bad.
Yeah, it's just one road.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, but well, that's cool. You know,
that's a better story than I thought you were going to say.
I'm almost run you over with his kid's limo or something.
Somewhere there's probably a kid who has a story where he actually got to stand there and watch him do it.
Oh. Not you.
Not me.
You
not know. This guy.
He beat traffic, though.
But he was like
beat traffic.
Yeah, he was like the big guy. Then Copperfield came along.
And then it was all that stupid street magic. It's like David Blaine and Chris Angel.
Yeah, and then along, you know, which is why me personally, is like, I'm more of a Penn and Teller fan because what they do is they kind of undo the trick. They mock it, they do it, and then they do it a different way where you don't know how they do it, even though they showed you the old school way to do it.
Right.
You're like, well, no, I don't know.
Do they still do a show? Or is it just?
Yes, they do. I just saw them.
All right, cool.
It was great. And it was funny because like when I saw the show, and it's like they've been together 40 years.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God. And their show is kind of like a greatest hits, and they've got new stuff. They always add new stuff. But they'll do stuff from, you know, 40 years ago. So it feels like it's like, well, this is something that was kind of old.
Right.
Right.
That they clearly did on like, you know, either a variety show or, you know, like on Letterman or something like that. And then here's, you know, some newer stuff. And it still has its,
pretty
its
cool.
edge, you know. But it's, yeah, I was like, 40 years.
He lost a bunch of weight, didn't he?
Yeah.
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 He's got like the hangy neck thing.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You know, I mean, he lost
a person.
He's been a larger
he's a big
for
boy.
A long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, this one.
Yeah, so you've got de-aged. Kind of. Was he de-aged? It was weird because, like, the Morgan Freeman. It's kind of like they were using Seven for reference, but he felt like it was either de-aged or. It was like.
Another actor.
I don't think it was another actor.
I felt like they just used Just
weird.
For Men.
Yeah, it was like, but he was a little, you know, swolled up
tighter.
Yeah. I don't know,
but yeah, so he does his thing, and the kid goes to Mark Ruffalo's dad says, you know, I'll be back in 300 seconds. You can time it by our watches.
Yeah,
you know, I've always got a trick up my sleeve. Blah blah.
Right.
So the safe goes into the water, and he starts counting, and he keeps counting, and he gets to like 309, and he's just like, oh. So then they go down there and they, you know, dad's dead.
Yeah.
Wah-wah. And then we cut to present day where they kind of give you a rundown of who the horsemen were. And then we go to Lex Luthor and he is. It's pretty obvious that they filmed this not long after Batman versus Superman because his hair is so short.
Right.
Yeah. And if I were him, I'd be like, I shaved my head for 3 seconds of film. Great. Awesome, because he's only bald until the very end of Batman versus Superman.
Well, and it's like also it's like you can CGI everything in this movie, but not my
bald head.
Well, they didn't explain, and it'll be on the. I hate to ruin it for you, but on
don't spoil it.
This Ultimate Edition, it's because he has Kryptonian lice.
Oh, those are bad.
Yeah,
yeah, all bad news. Hmm. Just Superman's heat vision, just right through his head. Yeah. It's the only way to kill it.
I thought he had Cal alopecia.
Oh, for the win. That's pretty good.
There you go.
So yeah, he's kind of doing his thing, and he has been in contact with the Eye on his own because he believes he should be leading the horsemen instead of Dylan, who is Mark Ruffalo's character. Dylan?
Right. Would this be our second consecutive episode if we made a Vangelis reference?
You for you two.
Yeah.
Box office report?
But yeah.
Was it box when we talked report. About
yeah.
Four Horsemen song?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was like, Metallica's Four Horsemen?
No. The,
it was X-Men.
It was X-Men.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
No, when we're talking about
666.
Yeah,
yeah. I looked that up by the
Aphrodite's creepy song, right?
That's a pretty creepy.
That's
song.
A creepy song.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's following these little clues, and you know, like, so I like the National Treasure movies. National Treasure.
I like the first
two.
One.
I like the second one.
And this is clearly following the same formula.
Yes, where he's like finding little trinkets to lead him down the subway into the where the turtles live. And then he gets this voice and they kind of tell him,
it's a shared universe.
And he's, oh my God. And here's something I was thinking as I'm watching this movie is like, it's really interesting. This is one of the few, like right now, maybe franchises where the lead protagonist is not likable.
Jesse Eisenberg is never likable.
Yeah, like he's doing his Jesse Eisenberg. Jesse
Eisenberg. He's likable. I like him in Zombieland. But
Adventureland.
Kind of.
Wait, isn't he
in that movie? He's kind of a baby in that movie.
He's a little whiny.
No.
He was kind of whiny.
Ryan Reynolds is the...
Yeah, oh, he is. Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't really feel for him.
I didn't either.
It's been a long time
that
now.
Movie though. But that came out. He's just that was bad timing because that came out like right around Superbad.
Right.
Yes.
And they marketed as kind of like
they
Superbad,
used a similar
but it's
font
not
in
it is a completely different movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was back when everybody confused him with Michael Cera.
I still do.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you couldn't.
Here's how you tell them the part. Jesse Eisenberg is the one who still makes movies.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, Michael Cera's going to, I don't know if he had the choice or was smart, but he's going to go into directing. And I think he's going to direct some of the new season of.
That's a way to start, though.
Of
Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't he direct some last time?
He might have.
I thought he was like a producer. I thought he was really involved behind the scenes, and that's part of how they got him back. Is because when they went to make that fourth season, it was kind of at the peak of his fame, of his moment.
Well, you know what's funny is that and maybe a smart move because he's among in making that season or that show. He's been around Ron Howard.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's also been around Henry Winkler and Chachi.
Yeah.
So,
was Chachi on that show?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was Bob Blah Blah.
Oh, he was. Yeah. That's right.
So he was probably like, well, now Winkler, you know.
Yeah.
Winkler is a very successful television producer, though.
Producer.
But he, I mean, yeah. Chachi's
but as far
not,
as like.
Henry
like,
Winkler is the man behind MacGyver.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah
so, that's his baby.
But I think that Sarah was probably like, I'm going to take a page out of this guy's book and this guy's book. Thanks, Chachi.
That's what.
And then he saw the kind of tail Chachi's crushing, and he's like, maybe I'll take a second look at that book.
Okay,
look at that
a
baby.
Chapter out of that book.
Yeah. Still,
I think there's you've only needed one good one.
Yeah, but so anyway, Eisenberg doing his twitchy.
Yeah, he's doing the Eisenberg thing. Eisenberg thing that he's. I guess he found success with The Social Network, and he's just going to stick with it from here on out.
Yeah.
So he kind of talks to the eye. The eye says, just stay with a British accent.
Yeah. at that point, I knew what to do. I see what we're doing here.
As soon as he goes down to the subway, I was like, oh, God dang it.
And that's when I reached up and I took part of my brain and I turned it off.
Yes. Yep. So I did
click.
This.
Still wasn't enough.
I did this in The Conjuring, like,
well,
back
I had to
breathe.
Oh, fair enough.
And I knew, so I walked in and I had my two tickets and the guy was like, hey, you're going
to
miss.
To Paradise?
Yeah, I wish. It was not. He's like, you're going to miss the first 25 minutes of The Conjuring because this isn't going to be over yet. And I was like, let's be honest. There's going to be 25 minutes of crap in front of these.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's I'm going to be fine.
It's averaging about 20 minutes of trailers.
Yeah. Which is commercials, trailers, the whole shebang.
20 minutes. The pre-show.
Yeah. So I came into The Conjuring, like, I wanted to leave early from Now You See Me, but given what happened at the end of the last one, I was like, God, there's going to be a twist, and I'm going to go on the show and not know what the twist was. So, like, luckily I came in The Conjuring that we talked about in our last episode, like, when they are at the video interview. So I missed the Amityville stuff. I've read about it. I knew what had happened.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, and I was like, I should have... Given the end of this movie, I was like, I should have just left. God dang it. It wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
So he takes off and he goes to his apartment. And this is where we meet Lizzie Caplan, who is playing so far against type from everything she's ever played before. Yeah. And I was completely taken out of it with her character.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I lost it. Because I think Lizzie Caplan, she's so good at playing like that. I don't care. I don't know how else to describe it. Just kind of like, I don't want to call it a bitch role. Like, she plays the bitch,
yeah,
but with like the heart of gold.
Right.
But that's kind of what it is. Like, if you ever saw Party Down, it's a fantastic show.
Yeah, I haven't. I've heard great
things.
Oh,
so good.
Yeah.
So Adam Scott, her, Lizzie Caplan, the guy who was on Freaks and Geeks.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. What's it? Whatever his name. He's on.
Jane Lynch.
The guy that's on Silicon Valley. Whatever his name. Martin Starr.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. But she plays like this ho-hum kind of gal, but she's fantastic
right
throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, she's one of the bright spots. I think it's because she's new to the team that they kind of.
She's like a ball of energy.
Yeah.
And I'm not used to seeing
her. She's not Isla Fisher, who was in the first movie.
Right.
Because I was like, why is she not in this movie? Well, it's because she was pregnant.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, or maybe she said
no. Like, there's not a way to write that in or work around.
Well, considering she was dating Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, I was expecting like in the movie, like,
right? Yeah, they were a thing, and then there's like two lines of dialogue that's like, oh yeah, no,
she left you because you're so controlling. And scene.
Right.
She is joining the team. She's joining the Horsemen. They get the call from Dylan, who's Mark Ruffalo, who has been still working for the FBI, who is leading them on a wild goose chase constantly.
Yeah.
You've got
about carrier pigeon.
Which actually, like, scene, I was like, Columbo.
Yeah.
Like, I totally see what Tom's talking about when he's going on and on about the carrier pigeons or whatever. Where he's play. I think they even referenced where he's like, you know, this dumb act that you're putting on doesn't help anybody. And I was like, they know it,
right?
Yeah. They know this dude should be Columbo. Yeah. But you've got like stereotypical.
Only somebody wanted to see a Columbo reboot. Someone other than me.
I'm telling you, they were pretty far into the, you know, discussions of doing a Rockford reboot.
Yeah.
That's also, they just added
Josh Holloway. They did try Kojak a few years
back. Kojak with
Ving Rhames?
Was it Ving Rhames?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should have worked.
Yeah, no, I like the premise. Yeah. I like the idea. It was a USA Network show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably put it against Burn Notice, because they put everything with Burn Notice.
Yeah.
I think it was still Dead Zone back then.
Silk Stockings?
No, Dead Zone, show Dead Zone.
Like,
not USA Network, was a Dead Zone.
USA Up All Night?
Yeah.
USA was it. They had wrestling.
Night Flight.
Night Flight, yes. Now you're talking. New Wave Theater all the way.
Old-timey reference.
Yeah, that's for you guys. So they all meet up, and Dylan has, so you've got like asshole, FBI agent who doesn't believe anything that's coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And then naive boss,
which, you know, I hate that. Like, they make this guy the asshole of the movie, 'cause he's the only guy
he's
in the movie
he's
who's with it. He knows from the beginning that this is all bull. And like, and he's calling them on it from the get go. Mm-hmm. And, but that they act like he's the biggest. And aren't you happy when he gets his comeuppance?
Yeah, and you're like,
no.
No,
I'm
not.
He's
really
doing
his job.
Yeah.
And then,
God forbid a police officer see through somebody's bull and try to solve a case.
Whatever. So they kind of lay it out. They come back, and Dylan kind of says that we're going to take down
this
cell phone mogul guy. Because
now, what was the big magic trick they had done up to this point?
Wasn't one.
Oh, they hadn't done one.
They hadn't done one yet.
I was just checking.
It was the replay from the first movie.
Okay.
Where they jumped off a building and they turned into money.
Again, I question their ability. Just someone who works with productions.
Yeah.
Three people. That seems very complicated.
Oh, I forgot they killed.
James Franco's brother.
Right.
Dave Franco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank Franco.
For three people to like pull off that kind of production seems very complicated. Like, who's
in the middle of New York?
Well, like, who's running the lights or sound?
Who set up the 300-foot HD television screen that's hanging from London Bridge?
Right. Yeah,
like that's clearly a union gig. You gotta plot that out like 4 days.
They had to sign
advance.
NDAs.
And you know what? You can't just Amazon Prime that kind of HDMI cable.
No,
you know.
No, you cannot.
I don't know. Those things was bothering me when I rewatched the first movie. I was like,
wait a minute.
Okay, now that hologram technology you guys are using, how much? At a certain point, you're like, you're really supposed to suspend
hologram
disbelief.
Technology. You can't accept the feasibility of hologram technology. So, and I'm not disagreeing, but. What must you think of their faith in how hypnosis works?
Oh man. Just their reliance upon hypnosis in this movie.
Oh my God. See, like in the first movie, they didn't really employ
it, like,
the use of it to the extent
Woody
of
Harrelson
this
would
movie.
Use it like sparingly.
Yeah, he used it, and he used it, you know, as a con.
Right.
Yeah, he used it as a con in like the hotel lobbies, and like they, you know, which I kind of like that they like they use an old headshot of Woody Harrelson when he's got like that the mullet, and you know,
it's, well, it's like from, now he's got like a mutant power. Like
the headshot he used from the set of Wildcats,
exactly.
With Goldie Hawn.
You're like, whoa, like, yeah.
Cheers,
let's go ways back.
I can do Cheers.
Yeah,
no, he was in a football movie with Goldie Hawn called Wildcats.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. It's one of the few times you get to see Goldie Hawn boob.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She's in a bathtub.
Really?
She's in a bathtub.
Yeah.
And she's, there they are.
Isn't she naked in Private Overboard? Ryan.
In where?
Overboard?
No, that movie's PG, isn't it?
Yeah. She's not naked in that movie.
Maybe she's wearing a very small bikini.
Okay.
That could be. But yeah. She gets them out in Wildcats.
Yeah.
She's the coach of a football team.
Log
a female coach of a football team. What?
What?
What is this, the 80s?
That's crazy talk.
I mean, I guess she could do their laundry or something, but to coach?
No.
A football team?
No.
She's the female coach of a football team.
A boy's
He's
team.
A guy with a major mullet.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Is he the love interest in the movie?
No. He's a student.
All right.
I don't even remember who the love
was. Was he the star quarterback or something?
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, he's not in that one.
That's just my go-to.
But, I understand. The hypnosis has elevated to the level of... And it's teachable, apparently, so is card throwing. Card throwing becomes a huge,
massive plot point.
What, boy, they were very fortunate that the MacGuffin was card shaped. The whole thing could have fallen apart if
shaped like a baseball.
Yeah,
we're in trouble now. Yeah, so they lay out the plot. They go to the big tech conference, and they've got the whole set. This is the first time the Horsemen have been back in the public since the last movie.
Flying off the roof,
right? And they've got it all planned out, and it's going all according to plan. And then they
do their big magic trick, which is what? Tell them about the big magic trick that they do here.
I can't.
The big magic trick that they do.
Well, it didn't happen.
There wasn't a magic trick?
There wasn't.
No. Because this was their big return.
Right.
They show up, all four of them on stage.
Yeah.
For the first time.
All three of them, plus the new gal.
Yeah. And who they've never rehearsed this, but she knows all the pattern and where to stand and how to jump out of the screen.
Exactly.
And then, because she's been with them for 48 hours at this point. And then they do their big magic trick. Tell them about the big magic trick that they do.
I can't.
Oh.
Because it didn't.
They didn't.
It didn't happen.
They didn't do a big magic
trick. They hypnotized a guy.
They did. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So and what happened? Where's the magic
trick? She had a rubber arm.
That scene was like something out of a completely different movie.
It was.
Yeah.
The wacky scene?
Where she cuts her own arm off.
Yeah, she has her
wacky
rubber,
buffet scene.
Her rubber hand goes flying. I'm like,
Did
you get that from like a porn store?
I do like the running joke where she's like, when you pulled
the hat out of a rabbit.
And she was like, that was 18 years ago. Can we stop bringing that up?
Yeah.
Or 8 years ago. Stop bringing it up.
You might be hitting something here, Tom, where like we're confusing magic for
gags.
Yeah, it's just
like they were sight gags, right? Like
this is the movie where like they're no. This is like the Ocean's 12.
It's a heist.
They're going heist.
No, I was thinking the same thing. Right. It's just a heist. It's heist, but there's no. The last one, I felt like, and again, I haven't seen it since it came out.
There's magic tricks, and they even show you because the guy Morgan Freeman, who debunks them the whole time in the first movie,
right,
shows you how they did the tricks.
Right,
and like in the very first movie, like they have the French guy who's randomly picked from the audience, but we see how they randomly picked.
Yeah,
him.
I felt like in the first one, even though
that they had some hypnotism,
they were doing some CGI and stuff. I felt like the tricks were at least grounded in reality.
We saw a trapdoor. Yeah. We saw the fake vault below the set.
Yeah,
and like he was transported to the French bank, and we see all of that stuff.
Right, right.
How they do. Like we see the magic. We see the trick. We know it's a trick. But then we see how they did it.
Right.
Which was, I think, the pleasure of the first movie is that, like, you see it.
And then they explain it.
And then they explain it.
Well,
they do that once
in this movie.
Yeah. They do one big one.
One big one.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's awful.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they, as they're going through there, they're going to start doing their big trick. And then the power, like, their microphones start getting cut out. And the doors lock. And all this stuff happens. Now the feds are here.
Yeah.
So like Dylan or Mark Ruffalo is going on the defensive, trying to be like, I'm glad you got to get him. I'm glad you guys are here because I'm stuck outside too.
I can't get in. Yeah, no.
So they go to their escape plan. They start running down. You know, they jump down the chute to the truck, but then they end up in China.
Macau.
And I was like, at that point, when like I was halfway starting to check out when they get to this part.
Yeah.
And then when they end up in Macau, I was like, done. I don't know what's happening.
So the one thing I liked, I was kind of hoping we were going to get out of the scene, because like Mark Ruffalo, all of a sudden, you know, he's busted and he knows he's busted. So yeah. He breaks out his like mad magician skills.
He's like, yeah, he's and like, suddenly he's like a super magician,
which I was like, as he should be, because he's sort of like their leader. But and then it was like, oh, but that's really kind of the end of that.
Yep.
Like yeah, I was really like, oh, see cool. That again. So he's like a super magician.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Because he like does the handcuff switcheroo, which is easy to do in film, because you just gotta like
right.
You don't have to explain away. It's like, right. Oh, a magic trick.
Yeah. Well, you just gotta put hands together.
I know, and they keep CGI doing cuffs. That. Going back to this throughout the movie, where they're in handcuffs, then somebody picks it, or they do the switcheroo, sure. And I'm like, don't most cops use zip ties?
Yeah, no, we still use handcuffs.
I mean, just,
for the most part,
yeah. You would think though, just since you're an officer, I'm gonna get as a non police officer though, I'm gonna give you a tip right now.
Yeah.
You do with this what you will.
Okay.
Should you ever arrest a magician?
No, just shoot him.
Just maybe you should go with the zip ties.
Yeah, maybe that's a good point.
You know?
Unless he's double jointed, then those things come right off.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
But so would the handcuffs.
So would handcuffs.
So
yeah.
The zip ties can only make it harder.
Like I said, just shoot him.
Yeah.
Nope. No creepy magic. Just and call
check
him
for the rubber hand.
Yeah, right. So they end up in Macau.
Yeah.
And then this is where we get the weirdest character I've ever seen. Like one of the. It's Woody Harrelson as his own twin brother.
And like I remember at this point, I turned to my wife and I said, when Woody Harrelson pops up as his own twin brother.
Yes.
And I was like, I honestly would have bet money that this movie couldn't get stupider.
I would have lost.
I would have lost that bet.
You would have lost.
I
was shocked.
I was like, I don't know what's happening now. They introduced the twin.
Yeah.
And then they're like, he goes, remember when in the first movie when I said somebody screwed me over?
This is the guy.
This is the best the retconning's going to get in this movie.
No, it's not. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, it's his twin brother who. I'm going to jump ahead. You know when the twin brother, when they go to the world's oldest magic shop later?
Yeah.
And then suddenly the twin brother's there?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, where did he come from?
Okay, thank you.
He was nowhere. Like,
he was nowhere in the car.
That was a magic trick because I did not leave my seat.
Yeah.
And then suddenly Woody Harrelson is talking to his twin. And I'm like,
where did you come from?
Where did he come into this?
So wait,
I think there's missing footage there.
Oh,
like, I think we've got like a... Because it was like...
A deleted scene.
Yeah, because I'm like...
It's already
okay,
like a 2-hour and 10-minute.
I did not leave.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's just standing there. And then at that point I'm like, maybe he's a figment of his imagination.
Well, I was like,
they're fight clubbing us.
Now.
Yeah.
Because he just came out of nowhere. And it drove me nuts. Like the rest of the movie, I'm like, I really don't know where he came from.
I did the exact same thing.
Like, he just suddenly was standing there in the magic shop.
What? I was thinking like, okay, so our Woody Harrelson's character, like his mutant power is telepathy and hypnotism.
Yeah.
His brother's is teleportation.
Yes.
Like that's, they just pop
somewhere. Yeah, like
wherever.
If he would have popped in if there would have been like a puff of smoke, I would have been like, oh, yeah, well.
Well, there we go.
Of course, it's the oldest magic job.
Well, they wouldn't, but you know why they're not going to do that? Because that
Woody
would be
Harrelson.
A magic trick.
I was like, yeah, Woody Harrelson would have smoked it?
No.
So there's the twin brother, which I was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
that's
bad.
That's never a good sign.
No, never.
Especially when he's like an over-the-top with a fro and like...
Broski?
He's
got this
annoying.
Very like manic affected nature about him. Like it's just so you can really show that
he's different.
I was like, oh my god, I'm watching Zorro with a gay blade.
Yeah.
That's very true.
You know he's not Zorro because he's so effeminate.
Right.
And so when they introduced him, which also made me think at some point, oh well, you know what, they're gonna actually be in cahoots and they're going to do a switcheroo.
That's what I was thinking.
I thought
like,
that too.
Gotta be a
I don't know if I'm glad that they didn't go down that road or disappointed.
Yeah, I know.
I thought for sure that what was going to happen was that
he was in on it the whole time.
Yeah. I thought the long con was coming with that.
I thought the twin was going to be disposed of, and then Woody Harrelson was going to be
I thought at some point
yeah
it was going to be. I honestly did think like, oh well, they'll just switch.
Yeah. Do the old flipperoo.
But so they're taking what? To Harry Potter.
They're taking to Harry Potter, and he lays out his plan. He's like, I want you to steal. He was actually partners with the tech guy. The tech guy kind of squeezed him out because he was crazy, which I was like, are you the Joker? Like, what do you mean they squeezed you out because you were crazy?
Yeah.
And they call him a sociopath. He's been a sociopath since he was 10 years old. It's like, what?
Well, so technically, he was a sociopath from when he was born. But,
yeah, okay. Right. I think that's the way that works. Is that that stays with you?
I was happy to see him because he wasn't bad.
He was playing against type.
I mean, for somebody who was kind of became an actor before our eyes, it was like he's good.
Yeah. He was in, what was that horror flick that I saw?
Horned.
That, but then there was another
woman wears black.
Yeah,
wasn't awful. It was pretty good. He was good.
You know, I liked what that movie was trying to do.
Yeah,
would just be an old school horror movie.
Yeah, like
was
a Hammer film.
It was about atmosphere and tension. Yeah. It just never really worked.
It
was a good looking movie, but I appreciated them trying to do something different than
a found footage movie.
Yeah.
So he kind of lays out his plan where he wants to steal this chip back that will give him access to every MacGuffin McGillicuddy.
Ever.
This MacGuffin will then be turned into the Super MacGuffin.
It is. It's the Super MacGuffin.
So, and then is this where we find out who his dad is?
No, I think it's a little later.
Yeah. No, okay. They're going to make that a big reveal later.
So big, nobody
cares.
But
I think
you mean
since
the only
Michael
guy
Caine was in the movie? Yeah. I'm like,
I didn't know. I didn't see any trailers for this.
The only guy in the movie with a British accent is going to turn out to be the son of the only guy in the last movie with a British accent.
Yes,
who would have cause for
a little bit
wanting
of revenge?
Yeah. Color me shocked.
Right.
So they're supposed to go steal this Super MacGuffin,
right?
That is conveniently shaped
like a car
and weighted like a plane car.
Correct. So isn't it weird?
Yeah.
So they devise a plan because, you can do that in 2 days.
Sure.
To figure out how to get past all the security.
Which is to take some random South African guy and hypnotize him.
Yeah. And you can hypnotize somebody by going up and say, listen to me sleep.
Well, he's like, you got to hit him really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and man. Then, he was whipping out that hypnosis everywhere. Under a dancing dragon inside a casino, which I don't think that would normally work at a casino. They usually don't like that kind of hullabaloo.
It was Macau.
Anything
goes with Macau.
Yeah.
All I could think is, though, is that, like, with the way this guy can just walk up and be like, sleep, and they'll do whatever, or like, you're going to say all this stuff, and, like, they'll just do it, like, that quickly. I am just thinking, this dude has never had consensual sex in his life.
Are you sure that's the right word you want to use?
I'm pretty sure.
Consensual?
I think I can say it here.
Okay.
But I'm just like, this has to be the rapiest raper that's ever raped.
You know, I was listening to How Did This Get Made?
Yeah.
And they did an episode on The Boy Next Door.
Yeah.
Which is the Jennifer Lopez flick that we did. And I forgot that it is the rapiest scene where he's just like all over her and she's like, no, stop. And he's like, nope, gotta keep going.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, seriously, stop. He's like, nope, gonna keep going. All right, go ahead. And they're just like, what message are they trying to send with that? But like the same deal where he's like, sleep. All right, good deal. I'll see you in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So they get into the thing and they have the big, I'm trying to think, what wasn't there like a big set piece in the first one where they did something similar? Where like
broke into a safe or something?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, we see.
And they made the money disappear. They made the big pallets of money disappear.
That's what it was. Yeah. Okay,
but that was all done with a big giant mirror,
right?
And the old mirror trick
and a vacuum, something out of a Looney Tunes episode.
Yeah, that was that was because it was actually under the set. The big
That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
But what they did in the Paris bank, because in the first movie, they went to Paris. And they robbed the bank by hypnotizing everybody, but they didn't really like show it so much, so it wasn't as obvious. But they did a lot of hypnosis in Paris, and they hypnotized their way into a bank vault to, I don't know, it was just a lot of that.
So the original screenplay, how they made all the money disappear, was they gave it to a mortgage company.
Ayo. That's what The Big Short came from.
Yeah,
that's what that is. So they end up doing this bit. It was so elaborate, and I was like, I just don't care. I don't care at all.
When they're passing the card,
back and forth.
Okay, so they get this thing, and they attach it to a card, so it's weighted to a card, and then they have to get frisked before they leave.
Metal detector.
And then go see the metal detector.
The guy is like, something's up. Like, another MacGuffin is like some frisk them all,
right? Yeah.
And they
and then, so then they start doing sleight of hand to hide this item from people as they're
no
getting
cameras
frisked.
In this room though, right?
Yeah, apparently not.
Apparently not.
Yeah. Just a lot of guards who are always looking the wrong way.
Yeah, it's nice to know.
Okay,
that
everybody, turn right.
If you've ever wonder, like, what has ever become of the descendants of the Keystone Cops?
Here it is.
They work in this location.
They're in Macau.
And so, you know, when this scene first started, I thought, this is kind of clever, because it started with sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Like, legit, what appeared to be legit sleight of hand.
Yeah.
And then it just went on full on CGI. And then what made no sense is that they, so they're passing the card with the device back and forth to each other as they're getting frisked. But they keep passing it to people who have yet to be frisked. You have been frisked.
Yeah.
The frisking has completed. You are in what the Latin, we would refer to in Latin as post frisked. And so, like, you don't, like, now you could just put it in your pocket and you're done. But instead, you're going to, like, fling it across the room gambit style.
And hoping that the other guy catches it.
Yeah. And
who's about to be frisked?
Who's about to be frisked? And then when that person's done, he will do the same thing to the other person who is yet to be frisked. Yeah. And this will go on for the next 10 minutes.
It was long.
It was a long scene.
Yeah.
It was like, stop throwing
it to
Merrick.
If they only would have considered throwing it the opposite direction.
Yeah. Right.
That scene would have been about 30 seconds.
And then once they're done, they throw it back to somebody else who has been frisked, who is then frisked again. they start re-frisking them, but pretending like they hadn't frisked them yet.
Right.
It was the weirdest.
It was very weird.
And then, of course, all the card flips and the sleight of hand stuff was all, like, really blatantly CGI'd. Because, I said, when it first began, I thought he was going to be playing this game with him with the card. And I was like, oh, this is clever. For, like, the first, like...
Right.
8 seconds. I was like, as he's like flipping it behind his hand,
putting it on the back of his head.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, this is actually cool. This is the stuff I liked about the first movie.
This is what you call magic.
Yeah, and then they pissed all
they
over
did.
It.
Yeah, so they end up Dave's character. I don't know what his name. Dave Franco's character, whatever his name was.
Yeah,
got his wallet taken on purpose. So, like, they have to, like, they hand the wallet back through, and in the process of
the exact split second that the wallet's going through the metal detector
through, and she catches it,
and they think the wallet set the metal detector off, and but they hadn't planned anything. This was all riffed, because as they're going in, they're like, we don't know how we're going to get it past the metal detector.
Right.
Like, so I know what we'll do. We'll throw a magnetic card around for 10 minutes.
And then, just jump to the end of the movie. So, at the end of the movie, you find out, like, the guy that let them into this place, right? With the that looks like the weird Hitler guy.
Right.
I was like,
which is never addressed.
Hey, Bank Hitler.
Yeah. And,
he does look like Hitler.
Yeah.
Like, if only they had just cut his mustache down to
somebody comes out. I mean, you can't look like Hitler and never not look like Hitler. I mean, it's not like a kinda Hitler thing, it's always you're gonna look you're going with that look.
I feel like in Europe the bowl cut with the short stash probably should just be banned.
Yeah, he pretty much ruined that mustache for everybody.
It's done.
So
you know,
so
it's broccoli on pizza. just don't even.
But then you at the end you find out that that guy that got them in there was part of the eye, and I'm like, so you already had a dude in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you already had a guy in there to get this thing.
So why did you make it so difficult?
So why did you have to bring in a team of other guys? And also, while I'm being outraged at lazy screenwriting, this is the Four Horsemen. These are, like, the most famous magicians in the world, which I know you're grading on a scale, but they're, like, world famous.
Yes.
When stuff happens, you see stuff like CNN is like, oh, my God, the Four Magicians have returned, or the Four Horsemen have returned. How exciting. It's like the top story.
Yep.
And all four of them walk down the street together. Nobody ever.
I thought the exact same
ever
thing.
Ever recognizes them.
Nope.
And then they sneak into places, again, all four of them, with absolutely no disguises.
Well, here's the other thing is, like, you know, you can make that happen in 1970.
Right.
You know, this is 2016.
No. Yeah, there was no
Everybody
internet.
Has a cell phone.
Oh.
And the one guy that you thought
was
dead.
There's another scene.
Not dead.
There's another scene where, like, they're given some sort of piece of exposition, right? And it's the thing where it's like it's on the news and everybody's standing in front of, like, a store window with all sorts of TVs getting their news given to them. And I'm like, it's not 19...
fucking 48. Yeah. Like, why are people standing in front of a storefront window?
Who puts a TV in a storefront window?
Well,
now?
Yeah, first off, who puts a TV in a storefront window? Second, like, oh, look, here's a news story behind this plate of glass where I can't see anything. If only there was something in my pocket that could deliver real-time information to me. Like, what is... who wrote this movie?
That they completely forgot that cell phones exist.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you don't... you know, you're right. You don't see TVs in storefronts anymore because the only thing they would broadcast would say, loot me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all, there's no... nobody puts a TV in front of a storefront. Yeah. Nobody has storefronts.
Yeah.
There's exactly. no storefronts. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in a big city like New York or something, maybe there is.
There
but
is,
like,
but they...
but yeah, but
they don't
TV
bars
there,
in front of it.
You might as well just change the name of your store to Smash and Grab.
Yeah. They don't... they really... you don't... they don't do that.
No. No. No.
There are very elaborate storefronts and they're used for, you know... I mean, they tell a story.
Right. Like, New York.
Bergdorf's is
sure,
got
like,
an
that's
amazing
different.
If you see joy, they just shoot snow at you.
Yeah, but they don't. Yeah, they don't just nice. Just put a stack of televisions all tuned to the same channel.
No.
Especially not that they're not all tuned to CNN.
And then the public
Macau.
Doesn't stop and watch them for breaking news.
Yeah.
That
right.
doesn't happen either.
Right. Also, I was like just looking at my phone just now and I was like, oh, okay, that happened. All
right,
good. Check.
Right.
Right. Perfect.
Yeah. Not at the storefront.
No,
sorry.
No, absolutely. No, you're totally right.
Yeah,
you're
I was
absolutely
just like,
right.
I was like, and Crystal was like, you have to be quiet.
Fuck you, I don't have to be quiet.
I'm like, this is ridiculous.
But see, this to me makes me feel that we did pick the right movie to review
this
week.
Yeah, I think we did.
Like,
we're very outraged.
I know more about the story and all that stuff about the other film.
And I was doing some research here. Do you want to take a guess? How many magic consultants worked on this movie?
Oh, none. So
this one and the first one?
Guess on the first one.
One.
Seven.
Three.
Oh, well, okay.
Right. Yeah.
But they were probably just to do like the...
I don't know. Just when I go to IMDb, I can find three people listed as magic consultants.
I believe that. I'm sure like the, you know, three out of the four actors, out of four of the actors said, I need a magic consultant so I can roll a coin on my fingers.
Right. You know how many people... how
I'm
many
sure his name was Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, you know how many magic consultants are... used on this movie?
Negative two.
None.
I believe it.
Not one magic consultant
of magic in this movie is disconcerting.
It is.
That was I was like, well, the first one I'm like, really? This one I'm like, well, I can't say anything because
I have no
they
idea.
Haven't done it. I can't debunk the trick. But that's why
they do
like
no magic.
About the first movie is that they show you the trick,
right?
And then they show you how they do it.
And even if you're
it's
like,
Columbo,
right? Yeah, totally.
They show you.
Well, it's Ocean's 11.
And
Ocean's 11.
Yes,
yeah,
and they show you.
They get the con, and then they show you how they did the con.
This one, I mean,
they don't even attempt a magic trick.
Nope.
Well,
the
I guess it's kind of
sort of a magic trick.
It's a con.
Did any of us not see what they were doing in that magic trick?
Of course not.
I was just like,
I saw what they were doing.
I was instantly like, okay, but we'll get to
I mean, at that point, I was like, well, okay, so we get to, they get the thing out. They see.
Well, Jesse Eisenberg has been in contact with the eye, and he's like, well, we're going to give you the thing.
Yeah.
I'll
meet you at some random street.
I'll be wearing a blue hat.
Yeah, you'll find me. I'm the only not Asian person. That will be me.
So he goes, and at this point, Dylan has somehow gotten himself
shows up
to Macau, but I don't remember how it got there.
Yeah, I don't. Well, he
teleported.
Oh, well, also remember he busts out. Well, he doesn't bust out. He gets Morgan Freeman out.
He busts him out. He uses the asshole's name.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
He gets him out.
Yeah. And they get on a private jet.
They're on a jet.
Lots of private jets in this movie.
A lot of private jets. And then Morgan Freeman basically says, you know, he knows that
he starts kind of giving him
son.
Right, right. He lays out and like, you know, he's like, you blame me for your dad's death. And this is what I was like, he gets in his face. I was like, you Hulk out on that guy.
Yeah.
You tell him.
And he gets.
Don't Hulk out on a plane, though. That's bad.
Yeah, don't do that. But I mean, he's basically saying, look, you know, that's not my fault.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And Morgan Freeman kind of owns up, is like, yeah, he feels bad about it.
Right.
Like,
right.
He's
like, I know you blame me because you think that I pushed him
right
too far to do something that was undoable. And I know you blame me for that. And I apologize, sort of.
But and obviously it wasn't his plan for that to happen.
Right. Right. They end up in Macau.
They go to Macau, and then we see Jesse Eisenberg's going to have a meeting with the Eye,
who the Eye turns out to be.
But the funny thing is, when he says he's going to meet the Eye doesn't show up because suddenly Dylan shows up, and then it's like, okay, so is Dylan the eye? But that wouldn't make sense because he's also the leader. So would he be the leader and the eye?
Yeah, he's both. And then Harry Potter shows up.
And then Harry Potter shows up, and wait, it's like...
is this the reveal? This is the reveal.
Almost.
Okay.
Yeah, because they basically... Dylan steps back. Like, he leaves, but then he comes back to help Eisenberg. Jesse Eisenberg get away.
Right, right. He gives him... So, like, Dylan kind of has the... He's going to give the key. Dylan has the key.
Yeah.
And then they get into a row.
Yes.
A fake row.
And he
does a little bit of magic. He does some
escapism.
Some Hulkism.
Yeah.
He's throwing some punches. So they, like, he ends up slipping the key card back with Atlas.
Yeah.
Which I completely forgot this guy's name was Atlas the entire time.
With a U.
And I was like, who are they talking? Oh, Lex. Yeah. Got it. So he kind of takes off, and then they both kind of get away. And then they have this, they realize they have this other plan. They have to, they are screwed now. And they think that the card that they have, this is the other weird plot point, where the card they have is fake.
Yeah, they think they have the fake card.
But they don't.
They don't. And it gets,
when did the switch happen?
When was there ever a fake one to switch?
I don't know. Well, like, they pull part of it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's fake. And I was like, okay, it's fake. So that means that somebody else has the card. But then they're like, Harry Potter's like, oh, they have the... So what they do is they kind of say, midnight, New Year's Eve in London, we're going to reveal that somebody...
Well, before that, they go to the... We have two things happen. We have the Four Horsemen go back to the world's oldest magic shop.
Yeah.
And they find out that the old lady
and her nephew or grandson or
they're
whatever.
They're the eye.
They're part, yeah.
Are part of the eye.
Well, there's only two people so far.
She's the retina.
Yeah. they're the rods.
Hers is going bad.
Rod and cone.
and this is, I think, the biggest shock. So the Asian lady actually speaks English?
What?
The hell you say?
Yeah.
And even like he's like, oh, you speak English now? It's like, not now, sucker. She's been speaking it the whole time.
So then, so they're giving them the whole backstory. And
I just thought that Rosetta Stone was really good. Surprisingly effective.
She learned it in a day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easily pirated over there.
Yeah, that's true.
Fair enough.
Piracy.
Fair enough.
And then we see that Mark Ruffalo is brought aboard a ship.
Yeah.
And they've got the safe that is his...
They've given... Also,
the safe
I guess
that it was supposed to be his dad's safe or was his dad's safe.
It was
safe.
His dad's safe. They've given him his another watch.
Yeah. And then...
Well, then he at the magic store when he... With Morgan Freeman, he gets his dad's
version of his dad's watch.
What did they say? It was another version.
I don't know.
Yeah, because your dad had seven of these made.
Okay, I didn't hear that one because I was like, "What did your dad died with this watch on?"
Yeah. Right.
Like, I don't understand.
And where's yours?
Yeah.
The watch that is identical to your dead hero father's. Why aren't you wearing it?
You would think that he'd still be wearing that watch.
If Butch is willing to put on a watch that was up Christopher Walken's ass,
fair enough.
Just saying.
True.
And he spent 30 years plotting revenge for his father's death. You'd think he'd still be wearing the watch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No.
So he
puts on the watch. Yeah. They throw him in the... He won't give up any information.
Well, that's where he sees that. Now we see Michael Caine.
He's pissed off.
Daniel Radcliffe's dad.
Bastard.
Daniel Radcliffe's the bastard child.
They can't make him a legitimate child.
Nope.
He's like, I have seven legitimate kids who are all crybabies. Then I got this one. Chip off the old block.
Yeah.
This little bastard child.
So they put him in the safe.
I think they were trying to explain why there was such an age difference.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I guess
because
that makes
sense,
then.
Because, like, Michael Caine shouldn't be Daniel Radcliffe's father. He should be his great-grandfather.
That's true. It's Michael Caine.
Sorry.
It's Michael Caine.
So
she was only 4 years old. the size of a tangerine. So they throw him in the safe, and he figures out that, like, somehow he's got a Dick Tracy watch.
Yeah, like the pin to pick the lock is in the watch.
Well, the watch also has a UV light.
Oh, that's right.
And it points to the arrow, and he was like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gets out.
That sounds like the sort of technology they would have had in 1984.
Exactly.
Yeah, he gets out. He gets out. He does the trick that his dad,
I guess, couldn't do
because it was the cheap safe or whatever.
Oh.
Because the safe buckled.
Yeah, okay.
And,
all right.
And because that was part of the reason why they went out there, the one company.
Yeah.
And then just in time to die right outside. Because he gets out and then he just is like.
Ugh. Yeah. I'm like, I don't
but
think
it's
that's,
okay
how, that's not how water
because
works.
Because here comes Jeffrey Eisenberg. I'm like, well, where were they at?
Yeah. Yeah. Where did he come from? Where
well,
he knew
I think
exactly
they
where
the
safe
truck.
Was.
They followed yeah. the dump truck or whatever that he
yeah,
was on.
Yeah, okay.
So I had the same question. I was like, how did he know to be there? And Chris was like, remember they followed the truck? I'm like, oh, okay. Right. I'll give him that
fine.
One.
Fine.
I'll give
and
him
then,
this.
Yes, they,
hey, you win this time.
And then they say, okay, London, we're going to, because we're going to go to London. Okay, London, we're going to do a big... series
trick.
Of tricks, and then it just gets out of control.
Well, yeah, then they say, we're going to reveal that somebody you thought was dead is really alive. And, of
right.
course, they don't think they have the key, but they just... The trick is that they're going to trick Michael Caine and Daniel Radcliffe into thinking they have the key. And they make the weird reference where he's, like, he's in violation of the SEC.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, I've broken all those rules. And I was like, that's a weird thing to
yeah.
pins on somebody.
Right.
Yeah. You're in violation of code 1452 of the SEC.
Yeah, but I'm
yeah.
dead.
Yeah, I was like, you can't touch me, I'm dead. So they set up all their tricks. So,
yeah, basically what they did, you know, with his character is that they spend every time we see that character, they tell him, whatever you do, don't step on that. They spend the entire movie to say, don't step
true.
On that.
I didn't think about that. That's
because,
true.
You know, at the end of the movie.
Got step
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they set up all these elaborate
Dave
magic
Franco
tricks
is
around
doing
town, like
a three card money,
but like with big giant cards. And it was like, and again, it's one of those things where it's like, why are like, where did
I'm not
they,
sure why,
how did they set up all these tricks? I
right.
mean, like, do you know how much work goes into getting those, like, where did they get the cards made?
Those had to be printed.
Well, and each one of those got progressively larger. Like, so,
yeah.
You know, Lizzie Kaplan got some birds. Franco got some large cards.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Eisenberg said, well, I want the magic rain.
Yeah. I want to be able to control the
and
rain.
And this is the thing you see in the trailer where he makes the rain go up and down.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, okay, even, and then they reveal it's a rain machine. But like,
yeah.
but one, even if it is a rain machine, like, how do you make water go up with a rain machine?
Right.
Two.
Like, I can understand maybe if you had a wind machine, right?
Well,
a wind
show,
machine can
they,
go from side to side.
It, but they show the old thing. And I remember seeing those at magic shops. And it was,
oh,
a,
the
a,
old
strobe,
thing,
it was
yeah.
a strobe effect.
Right.
And it was just the right frequency of the strobe light, which would make it look like it's going up, but it's all going down.
Kind of like how sometimes on films, spokes and tires look
yeah.
like they're rotating
yeah.
the
yeah.
wrong
exactly.
direction.
Yeah.
yeah.
But the thing is, during that scene, everybody should still be getting pummeled by that.
Right. You're still
rain.
Getting the laws of physics
suddenly,
still
though,
apply here.
The rain is not hitting them.
Okay. Here's the other question. They're all with umbrellas
uh-huh.
and like rain jackets, but uh-huh. like. How many square miles does your rain machine cover? Because like every like because
right.
as we're watching before it reveals it's a rain machine, I'm like, well, they're all in London. How come it's only raining where he's at?
Right.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. And then it's like, so okay, so it's not raining everywhere. So why do all these people suddenly get caught in like
a torrential downpour,
a 30 square foot rain
and
radius?
They were ready for it,
and they all have. I mean, I know it's London,
right?
But
yeah.
that seems excessive that they all have umbrellas or
correct.
Bumper shoots
and
or whatever
ready,
they're gonna call it.
They're ready for the rain to drop at any moment.
At the drop of a hat.
Right. At any section.
Right.
Like, oh,
it's raining.
It's raining yeah. on Downing Street.
Oh,
yeah.
Do well. Yeah. So then, like, I guess the feds show up again and they say, let's call. We got to get to the rendezvous or
well,
whatever.
Well, they knew where to go, first of all, because they all had colored lights, which was
yeah.
coordinated, you know, with the Fed's tracking system
yeah.
as they had, like,
weird
pink lights here and the blue lights there and the yellow lights there, the spotlights. So they were easy to find.
It was like when you play Candyland and, like, you get to certain people on Candyland
exactly
and you're like, oh, good, I got to the Rainbow Bridge. Perfect. And then I'm over here.
Well, I think it's weird, too. They keep showing all this footage of, like, the people in London, like, being so excited that these magic tricks are happening and watching them. Like, there's a scene at the end where there's, like, tens of thousands of
yeah,
people
they're
gathered
on the,
to
on
watch,
the Thames.
To, yeah, gathered to watch this magic trick that would have no visual interest to them at all.
None.
Like,
right. None.
So let's get to the end where they're in the plane.
Yeah, so they're in the plane and they get caught. They get caught by Michael Caine and
right.
Daniel Radcliffe, and they're just like, I think they give him the key.
They take the key while they're on the plane.
And then
they test it to make sure it's real.
Creepy twin brother says, throw them out of the plane. And they throw them all four of them out of the plane. And then they...
Five.
Oh, yeah, five. Sorry. They got Ruffalo too.
Yeah.
And then something happens. Does everything shut down?
Yeah, they throw them out of the plane.
They throw them out of the plane during a storm.
You hear them screaming.
You watch them getting thrown out of the plane to their certain death.
Absolutely.
And then,
because that's the thing.
And then everything stops, like on the plane. It goes quiet, and we see them like on the
laughing,
way,
on
like,
the,
laughing, and
then the, like it's like the Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, they're like the gremlin,
not good,
except not good. Yeah. So then it's revealed that this is a whole big setup to get them. The plane never took off. No,
it's on a barge in the Thames. Yeah, and so everyone's cheering as they reveal this elaborate trick. Yay. And it's like all the people on the bridge would have seen was a big giant box.
That's all they would have seen.
Right?
I don't know that it would have been that exciting. Hey, look at that big black box floating down there.
I'd have been pissed. Yeah. Well, it's a big giant box. Yeah. And then there's like a 400-foot.
Video wall
on the bridge where then they like walk everybody through how the trick happened that they didn't see. And like they're so excited that they caught these people that they've never heard of.
Right.
Like that means nothing to
those
them.
Those two people mean nothing.
Yeah. And they're all like there's tens of thousands of people.
And now I guess the horsemen are like Robin Hood.
And they kind of did that in the first movie, but
yeah, I guess.
But it made more sense in the first.
This one they were like, we got to top everything, so they just. The first one was a more contained. One was in a theater, and one was in another theater, and then there was, of course, on the rooftops, which got stupid. But this one was like, okay, well, they're on a barge in the Thames inside a plane, covered, with a scrim all the way around.
And
then it turned out 700-foot scrim,
like the twin brother, they had hypnotized him months ago.
It was that night.
Okay,
He's walking and he like bumps into what he thought was a hobo, but it was really James Franco hypnotized him. Dave Franco hypnotized him in that moment. This movie would be kind of cool with James Franco. I decided.
I kept thinking maybe he was.
That's what I was thinking. Like that he hypnotized him and he was gone. Like that's why we didn't see Merrick the entire time.
Yeah.
Is that he was actually his twin brother?
Kept thinking something, but
So they end up getting away.
This movie uses hypnotism the way Heroes uses time travel.
Yes.
Whenever they would write themselves in the corner, like, time travel. This movie does the same thing. Oh, I don't know what to do here. Okay, well, 9 months ago, somebody hypnotized
you. Yeah. Hero jumped back 3,000 years and took care of things.
Yeah.
Done? Okay, cool.
That first season was good. Yeah, then the feds show up.
Yeah, the feds show up and they kind of all get away at the same time, except for Ruffalo, who flips his. Completely naive boss a flash drive with all of the information on it, and then he pulls a Batman where she turns around and he turns back and he's gone.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's got
that
nothing to even
in that Affleck Batman movie.
She's got nothing to even know that there's anything on the flash.
Yeah, he could have just been like, here's a flash drive I got from
Target. I forgot to talk about this, but like, so at the very first non-magic trick that they did at the convention or whatever, where the guy comes on the screen and they're like, hey, Dylan has been lying to you the whole time. And now they're like, well, guess we got to arrest Dylan.
I was like,
he didn't present any evidence. It was like a masked, anonymous person hijacked their television screen and said,
He's a bad guy.
And they're like, well, guess we need to launch a four-continent chase.
I thought the exact same thing where I was like, man, the feds will kind of believe anybody.
Yeah.
They were all about
turn
it.
Turn on a dime.
I wish they put this much effort into like, the mortgage crisis or anything anything, but like it's like it's you know Catholic Church molesting kids, nothing.
Nope.
But if you're a magician
and somebody says that you are a bad guy, we're just gonna take their word for it.
You can't let bad magicians just out there roaming the streets.
Full court press. Gotta bring
that stuff down.
So they end up going
to some undisclosed location.
Yeah. I don't really know where.
Wait, they're not here, are they?
Oh no.
Other undisclosed location.
They meet back
up
with
upstate New York or something.
That's what it looked like.
Connecticut.
Or
I don't
London.
Know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So they meet back up with the Chinese lady and her son or grandson, and they reveal that they're the Eye. And then the uber retcon is that Morgan Freeman and Mark Ruffalo's father were partners.
Yeah.
They've been partners the entire time. He would be the...
He was the debunker.
Where he would... The other guy would do the magic trick, and that was their shtick, and that's what they did, and I screwed it up, and I'm sorry.
Why didn't you tell me 30 years ago?
Thank you.
Because then what would we have done over the last 30 years?
Why did you let me sit in jail for
between the first movie and the last movie?
I mean, you can tell the look on Ruffalo's face where he's like, I wouldn't have put you in jail.
Yeah,
you had just told me.
Right,
we'd have been cool. Like,
what about once you were in jail? It's funny. The movie even asked the questions and still doesn't have a good answer. But why didn't? Okay, once you were in jail, why didn't you tell me?
Ah, plan changed.
Yeah. Just didn't seem like a thing.
Seem like a thing.
This is what I was thankful though that they didn't do is bring the dad back.
That's like, so they thought
it was
for
me
sure.
The entire time. Man, I'm the eye.
They were going so to this door. There was a door like in the corner, and he was like, "I'm like, if that old man walks through that door."
Hello, son.
Yeah. It was like, you're an awful father.
Yeah.
You are an awful, awful father.
Yeah.
But they end up, like, this is where the other reveal is that the guy who was at the cell phone company.
Yeah.
With the Hitler.
Yeah.
Was in on it the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
The guy could have just had them steal the card in the first place.
Yeah. Well, the guy could have stole the card.
Who could have been like, no, they're clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
No.
No, I want to see how long they could toss a card.
Right.
Check them.
Yeah.
This is the this is your Jedi test. See if you can pass.
So at this point, then we also
just goes to credits,
the
right?
reveal is that Morgan Freeman, I guess, is the leader of the Eye.
That's he's grooming
and then
Mark
now
Ruffalo to
Mark
be the leader.
Ruffalo is going
to
be the leader of the Eye,
and then Jesse Eisenberg will be the leader of the Horsemen.
They all get what they want.
Get
promoted.
It's just a
like the last episode of Good Times. Everybody's getting out of the ghetto.
Yeah, and then
credits.
And then, they end the movie with the same, the opening scene, which was the voiceover, but the voiceover is supposed to be ominous in the beginning.
Okay, so I bolted. Yeah. I was
I'm going to Conjuring. At the beginning, the voiceover is like, you know, I'm going to get them everything they deserve.
Right,
yeah,
at the end, it's the exact
same wording, but he's like, but I'm going to make sure they get everything they deserve.
Like it's, and I was like, I got to go see The Conjuring. I'm out.
Yeah.
And then I left.
Yeah.
It was not.
I just don't, like, I understand... The studios want to make money. I totally get it. But when you have a movie that is the surprise success, I don't think anybody expected the first one to do what it did. Just leave it alone. Like, I get that's never going to happen, but like, you caught lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
You're not going to catch it again.
You know what this reminded me of? And maybe I should make sure that I'm not stealing your video recovery, but it reminded me of, do you remember the movie FX?
Yes, we talked about it.
Love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
And then FX2.
Yep. Not so good.
And it's just like not good because it's like they like a magic trick. You can only do it once. And like they did it once and it was really good. And then they tried for a sequel.
Was it Brian Dennehy?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, Brian Dennehy and
another guy that was in a movie
Brian
we just saw.
And we just saw.
We're like, who was that guy?
Excuse me. And it's, oh, God. It's.
You have a phone in your hand.
Well, I'm looking at something else.
Information devices that we talked about earlier.
But yeah, anyway, it was like that was another one where that was a surprise hit. Nobody expected that or saw it coming.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, let's make another one that is not going to be.
And it wasn't. It just the magic wasn't there. So
no.
Literally
and figuratively. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery
for us? It's funny because I after watching it, I was like... There's a great documentary about Ricky J on Netflix. I highly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a movie called An Honest Liar about James Randi.
About Amazing Randi.
Yeah. Which is, it's on Netflix. If you haven't seen it. An actual debunker who, it's interesting because there was a whole thing, like he has his own little scandal in this movie that they touch upon. I was like, I had no idea.
What's his scandal? I don't know about that.
Well, in his debunking, there was a little bit of some shenanigans that happened, and it's highly worth checking out.
Okay,
it's a really fascinating movie. It's about him,
right?
And it is. I mean, it's true. It's like he's an honest liar.
Yeah.
But the movie, I was like, okay, I'm going to try to give this movie a shot again, and I've tried multiple times to watch this movie, and it is the Clive Barker movie, Lord of Illusions.
Oh man.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this one more time. Because every time I watch that movie, I walk away like confused and kind of like, I don't know if I fell asleep or it maybe every time it's like, is the trick that it makes me fall asleep? So I don't remember the movie. So I watched it again and I Okay, so in this movie, Scott Bakula plays...
That's who I thought it was.
He plays a gumshoe in the wrong movie, because he plays like this 1940s gumshoe. It's set in the 90s, by the way. But yeah, clearly Bakula is going to stick with the gumshoe thing.
Right.
He's got the gumshoe
look. See?
I mean, like, he really wants to be the private eye. The private dick. So he's this guy, and it's about, you know, how magic is real, and, you know, people just think it's trickery, and the real power you don't ever see on the stage. And it's... I don't even know what's happening with this movie.
That's a Clive Barker movie?
It's a Clive, written for the screen and directed by Clive Barker. So this was his follow-up to Nightbreed.
Did that come out around the same times as Dark Days? I feel like
Dark City?
Dark City, sorry, yeah.
I feel like those might have, but that holds up.
I own that director's cut.
This one's got some like Lawnmower Man effects. Ooh. In this movie. It's so bad. I was watching it, and like a big dope, I decided I would watch the director's cut.
Yeah, which you're brave.
Clive
soul.
Barker just means that there's a lot more nudity, male and female.
That
and a lot of
sense.
Writhing.
He's gay, right?
Yeah. And there's a lot of writhing in this movie. A lot of shiny people writhing. That's like, oh, that's a Clive Barker movie.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. When you hear that guy talk, you're like, "That's exactly what I thought that guy was."
Now you know
like,
why those shiny people are happy.
Yeah, that's right.
I get that reference.
It's all the right.
Yeah,
it's just a weirdo, disjointed movie, and so I can't say that that's my recovery. But if you want to watch An Honest Liar by James,
there's
Randy,
they added that. Remember that documentary?
But, the Magic Castle does make an appearance in Lord of Illusions, so you get more magic in that movie in like a 5-minute sequence than you get in this.
Yeah, there's like
movie.
No magic.
No, there's magic. No magic at all.
It's ridiculous.
They do. I think they just added
$5 disappear.
They added that that, and I think NBC ran a special where it's like the masked magician reveals the tricks.
That's all of those are on. It was Fox, and all of those are
on Netflix right now. Yeah. So
the masked magician.
Know. Yes, that poor guy. They did that, and they did like wrestling secrets as well.
Yeah,
that, they showed how they make wrestling. Not
I also
kill
remember
people.
Fox. That was in a time when they were just like grasping at straws, and they would good animals go bad or something like that. And it was like a crocodile tangler, you know, like a wrestler at like Gatorland, not Gatorland, but like one of the cheap knockoffs of Gatorland. And if you've been to Gatorland, not knocking Gatorland, but you know. A knockoff of Gatorland.
This was where Fox, if they could have figured out a way, they would have just straight up done dogfighting.
Oh yeah.
Well, they want if they could show Faces of Death.
Yeah,
they were going to find a way.
Yeah, and then it was like good animals go bad. I'm like, first of all, you got your head in an alligator and
you
they clamped
to get
down, and I'm pretty sure the alligator's doing what it probably should do if you stick your head in an alligator's mouth. Like, I don't think it went bad on this one. I think it kind of did the expected outcome.
Gator nature.
Yeah,
is what
like,
that was.
It's like, I don't think that's... Yeah, when nature attacks, it's like, I don't think nature's attacking. You put your head
you
in there,
put your head in there, you moron.
You brought this on yourself.
Yeah. So, there are a couple options for you on Netflix that you might find cheaper than
$10 a month compared to this one.
And more entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, thank
but
you.
But yes, now, I do believe 3 is already happening.
Golly.
Ugh.
Okay.
That's a shame.
Well, thank
straight
you, Dan.
To, straight to video.
My pleasure. Yeah. So I guess let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you found a plot hole in this one that we missed and you want to rub our corpse's face in it,
please don't.
Please find us at facebook.com/realspoilers. It's also where you can join our League of Show Sharers and get all sorts of updates on movie type stuff throughout the week. So you can also follow us on Twitter at realspoilers or find us on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe, and all that fun fancy stuff. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. So I believe that's it for this week. Coming up on next week's film of the week, we'll be Finding Dory.
Yeah,
that seems like kind of a no-brainer.
I think so.
Yeah, so that should be a good one. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
Pixar's been a little wonky lately.
What was the one they had before that?
The Good Dinosaur.
Good Dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, not so good.
Not so good.
They got the dinosaur part right, though.
Yeah. Well, and that, was that really, I mean, it was more for kids, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great looking movie, but
nothing, no substance.
Yeah. So for them to take, I mean, one of their marquee properties is pretty much
this and Toy Story, I think, are the two.
Incredibles.
Yeah, but I think this is...
This and Toy Story are probably the biggest.
One and two.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this until this was, for a while, the highest grossing animated film of all time.
Until
Shrek, I believe. Yeah. Or did Shrek take it back? I can't remember the order.
Or did Shrek take it back from Shrek?
I forget. But, it was...
This was a big one.
This was huge, even by Pixar standards, which is saying something.
Yeah.
So, so for them to go back to that well is ballsy, but they need to do
something. They have to do something.
They do. So, we will tackle that, I guess not on the next one, but on the next one.
Yes.
If that makes
194.
Any sense.
194.
Yes. So.
Three.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I was told there'd be no math. So
can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
So that's it for this time. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Alfred Borden was Twins.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.